So welcome again to Bethel Baptist Church's Searching the Scriptures class, where we take your questions and we answer them from the Word of God. Before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your divine grace and mercy. We thank you for the greatness of your love and your compassion. We thank you for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform our lives, to strengthen us to do your will. We would abound in your presence and your glory, and in holiness and in righteousness we would live for you and serve you. In all that we see and do, in your honor and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so does anybody have any questions they would like for us to address? So we're taking a look at the question of how should we respond to false teachings.
First John chapter 4.
So let's go to Acts 17:11. The first thing we need to do, or what should be our first response? So when we hear what we believe to be a false doctrine, what we believe is to be something that is different than what we're used to, Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. And we'll start with Mary,
Okay, 17:11. These were won over in those Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so.
Okay, so what should be our first thought when we're confronted with what we believe is to be a false doctrine?
Search
the scriptures. For what purpose?
See if
it's true.
Right, so the first thing that we need to do is confirm that what we believe is a false doctrine actually is a false doctrine, right? Because there are a lot of things that we may believe now that in fact are not false doctrine. I can show you an example of that. I can have it in my... In Romans chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, Romans 7, verses 9 and 10,
for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death.
So what was Paul's view of the scriptures as a Pharisee?
You follow them, you live.
Yeah.
Life.
So he was thoroughly convinced that you follow the scriptures and they will yield to you eternal life. But after he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he realize the scriptures actually brought?
Death.
So he realized that everything he had not one time believed to be absolutely true, he discovered that a lot of it was fake.
Yeah, the commandment.
And so he had to deal with that reality. And so we've got to come to the realization that some things that we may believe are absolutely true doctrines may not be. Let's go take a look at 1 John 4:1.
That's a false doctrine.
1 John 4:1.
1 John. Oh, you're right. That's what you said. I'm a false prophet.
Okay. So 1 John 4:1. So good test.
Yes.
Robert.
any spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Okay, so what is the first thing that John tries to encourage us to do if we're confronted with what we believe is a false prophet?
Try it by the...
Test it. Yeah. Try it.
You try it?
Evaluate it. Okay, so we've got to be careful of whatever people are saying and just plain throwing it out. And the other thing we've got to be careful of is jumping into it.
It doesn't say there, but I guess you try it by the word. You try it with people from Korea.
Right.
Not by the best deal, but something with the word of God. So.
Yeah, so we've got to adjust it and test it, evaluate it based upon the word of God. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 and 13.
1 Corinthians 2:12-13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, that comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Okay, so as we're evaluating this doctrinal view of somebody else, how do we determine whether it's true or not? Comparing spiritual things to spiritual. So we have to take what they're saying, which they're professing to be a spiritual thing of sorts. So what is the spiritual thing that we compare it with?
The Word of God.
So we have to compare it with the Word of God to see if it lines up. This is what we saw the Bereans did. They took what they heard and they said, let's go evaluate. Let's investigate. Okay? 2 Kings 22:13.
Go ye, inquire the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us.
So what is he saying here? What is King Josiah saying that needs to be done?
Well, I guess having read the Bible for the first time in a long time, I guess the version of it, we're going against the commandments. So this is going to the priests, which are prophets that would have words from God to tell them, what are we doing here? Obviously, we're in trouble because we've broken these commandments and God's word. It's the bad thing that happens, what are we doing? So I guess they go to a prophet and
right. So we go to the scriptures to be the best prophets that we have.
Yeah.
We can go to other spiritual advisors and counselors and seek to know how to understand this doctrine. What do we do with it? How do we communicate with it? So it's a confirmation issue over and over and over again. Romans 14, 1 through 6.
Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. The one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak be accursed. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day is regardeth the rest of the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he giveth not to God thanks. For none of us giveth himself, and none of us.
So as we take a look at the doctrine that is presented, we have a range of things that we can deal with, right? One of the options we can come up with is this person's doctrine actually is real, is true, right? I had some misunderstanding, the Word of God straightened me out, and now, right, I agree, this guy's right, okay? The other option is what this guy says is downright heresy, right? So if someone is saying, you know, that there are many paths to God and this Jesus is just one of many paths, we know that what he's saying is heretical. Okay? The other option that we can come up, that we can evaluate is, you know, that's a legitimate way to understand the scriptures. I don't necessarily agree with them, but you know what, that's all right. You know, that's where I go with things like dispensationalism. You know what, you want to believe in the future of rapture, fine, go for it. I don't, not a big deal. Because the Bible, guess what, isn't clear. It doesn't say, by the way, this is going to happen, and immediately after that, we've got the tribulation, and immediately after that, we've got the rapture. It doesn't say any of that type of stuff. Right? We don't have that order of things that are listed. So, you want to believe in the pre-tribulation? Great. You want to believe in the post-tribulation rapture? Great. You want to believe in the mid-tribulation rapture? Great. But following Jesus, though. Right? There are other things that, depending upon the degree, that, you know, Seventh-day Adventists, for example. They want to worship God on Saturday? That's fine. But when they start telling me you're not a Christian because you worship on Sunday, I've got a problem with that because they're not the judge. Christ is. Right? So some Seventh-day Adventists, I don't have a problem with because they preach Christ. They have to meet together on Saturday. I disagree with their meeting day on biblical grounds, but now just going to follow discussing it with them. But there's no reason to get into arguments or precepts here to doubtful disputations. There are some things that are worth arguing over, dividing over, as one of my instructors would say. Some things that we discuss and come to the commission and understanding of it. Some things just like, you know, this is the way I believe about this right now. And you can go either way. And so we need to decide where it sits on the realm of correctness or incorrectness. There are some things which are downright heresy. And there are other things that are just different. And we've got to figure out where this doctrine lies and whether or not it's worth confronting for. And that's what he's talking about in some of the sections. You know what? There are some things that we may disagree on. And I'm glad. As long as they're doing whatever they're committed to doing, that's up to the Lord. And it's not pursuing after an act of heresy. So we're going to be dealing with the false doctrine, and all those things that we at least need to be careful of.
Saints for the ministry, for the body of Christ, for we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we henceforth, being of our children, tossed to and fro and carried about, and were in the word of doctrine, and the light of men, and the kind of the lion of the sea, speaking the truth in love, and grow up into thee in all things which is the head of Christ.
So, what are some things that we need to be very careful on as we deal with alternative doctrines?
I think we're carried away with something that kind of has a charismatic figure, so it's something that more of the Bible would be interesting here.
Yeah, so we've got to be careful, as Paul says here, that we don't function like children being tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. We're not trying to catch the latest doctrine and follow the latest path. I tell people, for example, the depart out of the church teachings of Harold Camping and Company. You look at what he's saying, and there's a certain amount of what he's observation-wise is making that true. You look at the church as a whole, and it seems like, by and large, much of the church is sick today. I don't dispute that. Where he's taking it too far is, what do you do about it? Well, we need to spend in the church. And God never told us to abandon the church. That Christ has already come. You know, Christ hasn't already come. Right? And so we can listen to what they say and they'll have a little bit of truth into what they say, then we can get caught up in it and follow them wholeheartedly. And being caught up with the latest we know some people that are more charismatic into things with churches, and it seems like every time we hear what's going on with them, they change churches again. Well, as a church, they're acting for teaching, or is this because of what they're looking for and all they're finding? I don't know. But we've got to be careful that we not get caught up with whatever the latest doctrine is, whatever the latest teaching is, and go with it. I talk a lot about the teaching of the church. God to convert them from the error of their ways. And in some sense, it may be an issue of life and death on the line. But we also still need to communicate them with a sense of urgency, but at the same time, having a sense of care and compassion for them, knowing that it's not us that can change them. God can use us to change them. And it says that we should also have more to do the same. So that may also mean that we don't have to go to the person who changes their mind, understanding the instructions, and realize themselves that God's teaching. We need to go off and tell them about, you know, Brother Billy Joe Robb and his teaching that is just so way out there, but not incorrect. Correcting them from that. We don't need to go about this wayward paths.
Jesus, but you don't have to go through his blind Jesus.
the divinity and the divine nature of Jesus is not no consequence. Well, I beg to differ. It's of huge importance. Because the only way Jesus could be sinless is if he is God in flesh. And a myriad of other things that deal with the nature and character of Jesus. The understanding that Jesus is God is essential. It's not a, oh yeah, and by the way. But you see how Satan works that. It's Jesus, but not necessarily the Jesus of the Bible.
Isaiah, in Numbers, in more than one passage of Paul,
found it in a plurality of places. There's also one of their great passages they talk about with Deborah in the prophetess. Here she is, a prophet leading Israel. Well, if you look at what she said, she tried to advocate her position and place the captain of the guard as being the authority to lead the charge. He said, I don't want to do it. I want to be underneath your leadership. He advocated this position to her. She tried to get it back and say, it's not my position, but yours. And he said, I don't want it. Okay. And so it's even in their hero with women in leadership, there's a question of the legitimacy of their argument. So the point is that some people challenge us for things, but we've got to build up the principles of the scriptures and understand what are the principles, and understand that those principles will not just be taught once, but they can be taught over and over and over again. And that's why he's talking about precept upon precept. You've got to build up our understanding of the scriptures by the principles that are explained to them. Line upon line, you've got to have the scriptures themselves, the actual text, be our teacher and guide. And we've got to get down to be able to get into the details. And sometimes as I'm doing some studies of the scriptures preparing for a sermon, I'll look at a word in the Greek or the Hebrew and say, why did he use this word and not that word? Why did he use it in this text, in this gender, or in this...
Scripture is trying to communicate. And then as we
pursue in other, growing in other knowledge of dealing with their actual doctrine itself. So sometimes we can realize that certain doctrines are false just because the details of the doctrine that they're teaching sound a little fuzzy, but the general content as well is outside of the realm of what seems plausible. Right? So we can deal with the generic, this is where your doctrine seems to be leading, while we come back and try to fill it. When I was going to seminary, I had an instructor that was just thoroughly upset one day because he would say, why don't people accept the dispensationalism? And I communicated because some of the teachings of dispensationalism say that there's a salvation for Israel apart from Christ. Because that's what I hear, or that's what I've come to understand. Now, I understood by your response that that's not what he believes. But that is what can be communicated. And so I may not be able to break down the details of dispensationalism, but that aspect of it, what careful of where this doctrine leads. And so we've got to be prepared to give an answer. So we've got to know the scripture, what the scriptures are dealing with.
Hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Open
someone is bringing you this new doctrine. You've looked at it, you've researched it, you've talked to people, and you discovered, no, what he's teaching is a false doctrine. We've dealt with the scripture. Understand that we need to contend with that to defend the faith. How do we go about that? What is the first step when we've decided this person needs to be confronted with the error of their teaching? What do we need to do? You talk to them. You talk to the person. Mono or mono. Okay. You don't go out and let's grab 17 of my brethren that will be behind me and we're going to go beat this guy up with our numbers and tell him, cowards down in the corner out of fear for us. No, we go and talk to him. We open the scriptures to him. And we communicate to him what he's teaching is a false doctrine. And this is why. This is what the old Isaiah taught. This is what Jesus said. This is what Paul said. And we open up the scriptures to him to help him to hopefully see the error of his ways. Okay. And if he remains steadfast in his heresy and says, no, I'm not going to do that. Let's go as a group. Let's bust together and talk with him. And now you talk with the guy with the group. And then he still says, no, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. And then we do it. Take him before the church. And with your local assembly, and says, this person is teaching heretical teachings. He refuses to repent of his teachings. We have shown him the scriptures, and you communicate what you've communicated to him. And if he's still remains steadfast in his belief, in his heresy, you reject him as being part of the fellowship of Christians. You don't consider him as a believer, but you consider him as an unbeliever, and you start over with the process of trying to re-evangelize him. And he's an outsider. Right? He's not part of the family. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Push that out. We're going to go a few more verses later.
down a consent chapter, verses 23 and 24.
heretic, you confronted him, you dealt with him, you communicated with him over multiple times, and he's not being... Ignore, reject him. Right? You cast him out as outside the picture, outside the relationship. You don't treat them as though they're a fellow brother. Because they're not. Right? To the best of our understanding. Whether they are actually they're going to turn away their ears from the truth. They're going to turn the tables. They want to hear what they want to hear, but that's true. So we have to be prepared for that. But what we have to do is, as we deal with people that are bringing up false doctrines, is turn to the basis, which is the scriptures. Open the scriptures up to them and pray that God might expose them to the error of their ways and grant them understanding. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your divine grace and mercy, for the greatness of your love and your compassion, for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform our lives, and that we would abound in your presence and in your glory, and in holiness and in righteousness we would serve you. We pray for your spirit to strengthen us and encourage us. In Jesus' name.